We're joined this morning by Jeffrey Frank, former senior editor at The New Yorker, and also, interestingly, a former member of the Courier Express staff here in the city of Buffalo. Well, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Oh, happy to be there, Jay.
First, you wrote for NewYorker.com an entry called The Ghost of Jack Kemp, and I thought this would be a good time when with politics is so much in the air to maybe reflect a little bit about Mr. Kemp and his time. We remember him here as a football hero in Western New York, and of course his constituents remember him as a longtime Republican congressman. But what about him on a national level? What kind of standing did he have?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about it because Paul Ryan had interestingly spoken about the Republican Party as being the party of Lincoln, of Reagan, and then of Jack Kemp, and that was really interesting to me. I'd forgotten that Jack Kemp was a mentor of Paul Ryan, and he was speaking of him because he was a real national figure.
Jack Kemp was virtually untouchable when it came to elections here in Western New York. He, if you could call it Kemp country, I guess, to a certain extent at that time. You could say the same now. This has become Trump country. Chris Collins, the local congressman, predicted earlier this week that Donald Trump will win 65% of the vote. Can you reflect or offer some perspective on the difference, perhaps, between an area that once upon a time supported Jack Kemp and, as you said, kind of an interesting type of Republican politics that he had, and now the politics, if you want to call it that, that Donald Trump espouses?
No, I don't think Kemp had a real place in the party today. And Donald Trump, well, I agree that with Chris Collins, Trump is probably going to carry Erie County. But, you know, 20-some years ago, Lou Lerman beat Mario Cuomo in Erie County. So there's a strain of conservatism there that you don't find in New York City. So that wouldn't surprise me. 65% would surprise me. But I'm sure that he's strong there. And that's also he's also speaking about maybe the weaknesses of Mrs. Clinton, even though she was a senator from New York State, but she's not a great campaigner and a great connector with people when she campaigns, and that's something that Trump has too.
Between now and November, what will you be looking for moving forward as maybe telltale signs of what might happen in November?
Well, I've got one thing. I'm going to be looking at the California primary. That's going to be particularly on the Democratic side. I mean, everyone says Mrs. Clinton is way ahead, but if something were to happen there, if there was some sort of upset, suddenly her nomination would be just a little bit more in doubt. And I'm going to be thinking a lot about what Trump's going to be doing for picking a vice president. Who is he going to pick? Is he going to pick somebody, one of his friends? Is he going to pick someone who's been loyal to him? I'm thinking of Chris Christie, who would be absolutely no help to him whatsoever nationally, or will he be thinking of someone who could help him carry a state like John Kasich, who might help him carry Ohio? I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to watch all of this and to watch what he does and says. Is he going to be? He seems to be saying, "I'm going to be myself. I'm not going to change. I'm going to be Donald Trump, and nothing's going to. It's been working for me so far. Why should I change?" But then is he going to listen to his consultants who are saying, "Well, maybe you ought to begin to do what candidates have done for the last gazillion years and move just a teensy bit toward a sort of centrist mainstream position here on certain issues. I don't know. We'll see. But he doesn't seem to be changing anything, even building his wall, which is not going to help him win votes from lots of people in this country."
Interesting, of course, that you mentioned his running mate, because you have written a book called Ike and Dick, Portrait of a Strange Political Marriage, talking about President Eisenhower and his Vice President Richard Nixon, of course. A chance perhaps now to reflect of a politics of the 1950s and what that scene was like compared to what you're seeing today. What are your thoughts?
Well, one thing is, I mean, the one comparison in a way is there was a sort of an outsider who became the Republican nominee. But the difference, I mean, someone who'd never run for office, but Eisenhower was a beloved, a national hero, the man who had led the Allied Expeditionary Force in Europe. And he was also a very much in the mainstream. He was in many ways he was basically a New Dealer and a strong internationalist. But when he picked Nixon as vice president, he had barely met Nixon, and it wasn't even his. I mean, he didn't even realize that it was his choice. He thought, oh well, it's a convention. I suppose they'll make the choice. No, General. You get to choose who you want. And his advisors, people like Tom Dewey, the former governor of New York and former presidential candidate, and Henry Cabot Lodge, who was a senator from Massachusetts, and people like that were telling him to make the choice. And Nixon was chosen, even though Eisenhower barely knew him and didn't particularly like him, because he had certain strengths. So that was a typical balancing. Eisenhower was a Midwesterner, but he lived in the East by then, and Nixon was a Californian. Nixon was a strong anti-communist. He'd been famous as a sort of red hunter when he was in Congress. He was the one who had gone after Alger Hiss. So he was a very strong internationalist. He was in favor of the Marshall Plan in a time when lots of Republicans didn't think that was a good idea. So it was a natural pairing, and Nixon had been around a long time. He had been in Congress since 1946. He'd won his first term in the Senate in 1950, and so there was this really no comparison. And of course, the politics then were very different. The Republicans had its isolationist strain, but it was a very responsible one. Senator Bob Taft of Ohio represented that strain, but Bob Taft was a man whose his father had been president, and these were very much part of the of an American tradition. Trump seems to be completely sort of ahistorical as a figure. I've never seen anything like him in American politics. In 1940, the Republicans nominated a businessman who'd never been involved with that, Wendell Willkie. But there again, Wendell Willkie was internationalist. Roosevelt actually quite liked him. So it is just, and of course he lost to Roosevelt. There's just nothing quite like this year and these people. And I can't really compare it to the 1950s. And you certainly can't compare Donald Trump. I won't even begin to sort of talk about his flaws with General Eisenhower.
Jeffrey Frank is a former senior editor with The New Yorker. His most recent post at NewYorker.com is called The Ghost of Jack Kemp. He joins us by phone this morning. Thank you very much for your time.
Jay, thank you very much.